Welcome to the family on the Tom Bernard Podcast with
Dave Schrader,
Alex Brent Bernard Rasmussen, co-host Catherine Brandt,
and Andy Brent Bernard.
We will be right back. Now, Dave, you met Jay Johnson where?
Yeah, we were out at Joliet State Prison doing a paranormal investigation this last weekend.
So what did you do to get in prison?
Went there. Paid a ticket, you know, just like
I mean,
just like a normal prison.
Don't lie to me.
I wish. You know how many dads spend more time in prison doing paranormal investigations than most celebrities have spent for doing actual crime?
See, there you go.
Is this a defunct prison?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, since I think 2002, 2004.
Situational Awareness 101, because what you don't know can hurt you. Jay Johnson, our special guest next, Tom Bernard Podcast.
Tommy, do you guys read a lot of poetry on the queue?
You mean like, there once was a man from Nantucket?
No, more like T.S. Eliot.
April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Dougie, what's wrong? You a little sad?
No, other than the weather, nothing's wrong. In fact, in the Walzer world, Coon Rapids and Burnsville finished number 1 and 2 in the state of Minnesota. J-Lo finally beat Dan Resch.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Is it okay if I take all the credit?
Well, I'd expect nothing less. Actually, we've got great inventory of some great vehicles, and these short-term leases are perfect for people who can't get the brands that they want.
You told me about those. You can drive a new Nissan for as little as 18 months, and by then, the chips will be aplenty.
That's it exactly. We hope by then you'll be a Walzer Nissan convert.
For great deals from the Minnesota sales leaders, go to Burnsville or Coon Rapids Nissan. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Hey, this is Brian Zepp. Summer is finally here, and if you're like me, you've got some serious riding planned. Make sure you and your motorcycle are good to go with Dennis Kirk. Whatever you ride, Harley, Indian, metric cruiser, or sport bike, you'll find what you need at Dennis Kirk. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Clothing and helmets, too. Order before 8 p.m., and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. Follow Zepp's lead and head to DennisKirk.com. They ship today.
Chris Eggert's such a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Are we back?
We are.
Well, I am anyway.
Before we join Jay, I just wanted to read something. This was not for air, but I think podcasting, it's okay. It's a friend of mine in the news business. He's been on the podcast a number of times. Well, like I say, it's Chris Eggert. That's who it was. But I just want to read this because this is Chris is a great guy. Hi, Tom. Hope all is well. Would you consider shooting a story with me one morning between the KQ Morning Show and when you start your podcast? Just you and I BSing about your career. It would be on tape and edited down for air. Also, you can tell me to F off. People do that all the time.
Oh, Chris.
Chris is such a great guy. Chris, I would be honored to do that. I'll reach out to him later on today. Just Chris Eggert's a great guy.
Could do like the Prince thing. I'll come sit next to you, and he'll ask the questions, and I'll lean over to you. You whisper in my ear, and I'll answer for him. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But Michael Bryant attend.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Don't answer
ready
that.
To go, Andy?
Yes, he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was looking at the book just now. Dave Schrader brought it in with him. Situational Awareness 101, because what you don't know can hurt you. Isn't that the truth? Boy, the problem I have, Jay, and I want to turn it over, and just you and Dave know each other a bit, so I want to hear you guys conversing. But isn't that the biggest problem in the world right now? Is about 95% of people don't know a damn thing, but they think they know everything? Is that a huge problem?
Yep, absolutely.
I'm telling you, Jay, I just get so tired of dimwits. It's just, and not that I'm some great genius, that's not what I'm saying, but my God, people are getting dumber by the day.
We can attest to that, Tom.
That I'm not a genius.
Yes,
thank you.
We are here to support that, really, 100%.
Really, really nice. But you know what, Jay, Dave just got fired, so he can't talk to you, but you know. Anyway, Dave, Jay Johnson, now where'd you guys meet?
Well, we met Joliet State Prison this past weekend. There was a paranormal conference, and we were doing ghost hunting and hanging out, and he gifted me a copy of his book. And I just thought this would be a great thing to bring on, especially with your podcast, talk a little bit about it. Because, again, we run into the fact that you think you're prepared in life for most things, and then we hear the horrific things that pop up on the news, and and we realize just how unprepared we really, really are. And what I also was curious about, I mean, the book is phenomenal. Jay, what inspired you to write this?
Well, here's the thing. You know, Chris Fleming asked me the same thing because I did an April podcast, I want to say maybe 3 years ago on his thing. And I just have a very diverse background. I was picked on my whole life, which made me a fast runner. I prefer not confrontation. I don't want to argue with people. I want to get along, but I don't want to get my ass kicked either. So you have a choice. Get there, get your ass kicked, learn how to fight, or run. And sometimes running's a better option. But in a nutshell, I was a cop in the late 80s. I worked undercover security for Venture Department Stores for 10 years. I'm EMT certified, rescue diver certified. I'm an outdoor enthusiast. I'm proficient with most weapons, archery, black powder musket, guns. I've also written another book, Beginner's Guide to Gun Ownership, which is a 198-page book. I ran a martial arts school in California. I've been in and out of martial arts since I was 15. So I have gone after the information to have the experience that I need in most situations, if and when they arise. And the problem with most of the human race, and it doesn't make them bad people, is they're a lot more reactive than they are proactive. But the second something happens, they become proactive. So I sent you a video, Dave, about 30 minutes ago. No joke. My brother's house about an hour ago was a potential break-in. He's got one of those, like, Ring doorbells. Somebody approached a secondary front door, pulled on the door a couple times, see if it was locked. They kind of tested the waters. But his wife was home. She knocked on the window, and the guy just says, oh, sorry, wrong house.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Wrong house today.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the problem. You know, this book is 360 pages, 50 chapters. It's a very diversified book. And the first chapter is common sense. Is it really common? And it's not what you would think I would say. I'm not slamming people saying this guy's smart and this guy's stupid. What I'm saying is if you haven't learned it the hard way or you haven't been taught the right way, you're likely going to encounter a situation it's not going to turn out in your favor. And I'll give you an example. If you were taken camping by your mom or dad when you were younger, and they teach you, hey, here, this is how you make a fire safely. This is how you put the fire out safely. Now, fast forward, maybe you're 12 years old. Now you're old enough to leave at home for maybe 10 minutes while mom runs to the store.
Right.
She's got something on the stove and a grease fire flares up. Well, you've been taught you throw water on the fire to put it out. How's it going to work out if it's a grease fire?
Oh, not God, well. Yeah.
But how do you know that?
Yep.
Yeah.
You either taught it or you found out the hard way, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by common sense. Is it really common? We have a natural ability to think that once we've learned it, it's just common knowledge and everybody else around us knows it. But that's not necessarily the case. And we come from all walks of life. So your experience may be different than mine. You may have city smarts, but if I take you in the woods, you're dumb as a box of rocks. I could take a redneck down in the southeast and bring him into the city. He might struggle a little bit, but if I had to get lost in the woods, that's the guy I want to be with.
Right, right.
So everybody has their strong suits. Nobody's completely stupid and nobody's completely smart. It all has to do with the subject matter at hand.
Tom, do you agree with that?
That's why even when I go on these ghost hunts, I like to go on the ghost hunts with people like you and Chris Fleming, people that are seasoned.
Did you hear
you know,
that,
because
Jay?
One, I learned from you guys, and two, if something does go down, I have real professionals there that know how to deal with the situation. I'm not breaking into some abandoned building on my own hoping for the best.
Right.
Right. Well, and it's getting prepped, but that's the whole thing is, you know, as a parent, you forget what you don't know, right? And it's like, gosh, you're right. I should show my kids how to put out a grease fire, how to do this. I bought these fire blankets that I have hanging up all over the house in these little packages. You pull the tabs and throw them out. And you can put them over every type of fire, and they put them out. Awesome. And I've told the kids about that, but not explained to them why. Right. Why this is important, why we just don't throw water, why these things happen. But it seems like, God, can you ever truly be prepared? You know, driving to Chicago this weekend, I let my son drive. He's 15. He's got his permit. He needs to get 50 hours under his belt. And I didn't critique the driving as much as I taught him how to be aware of the cars in front of you and behind you at all times. And realize that not just your lane is important. Look in the lane in front of you to the right and to the left. If you mm-hmm. see their brake lights coming on, start to slow down, even if your guys aren't turning slow yet, because that means something's coming. And, you know, kind of go down, and he'd say to me, man, what? Wow, you knew that was going to happen. And I'm like, yeah, you got to be aware, because otherwise we would have been right through the back of that truck when it did slam on its brakes. That's why we have to kind of keep an eye all around us. But I feel like, you know, am I giving them enough knowledge to go out into the world and deal with stuff? How do we, you know, approach some of this? And at what age do we start teaching kids how to handle pressure and moments like this without it making them live in a fear-instilled world?
You know, that's going to depend on your probably where you live, maybe your race, religion,
mm-hmm.
your religious beliefs might have a lot to do with it. The thing is, you can't teach them everything at once, but you can teach them thing in stages. And just like when we teach somebody martial arts, they don't come in and learn how to be a black belt day one. They start with the basics. Once they get the basics down, you move them to the next stage. If you try to teach them everything at once, they're going to do everything sloppy. They're not going to do it right. They're not going to remember it anyway.
Right.
And the thing is, you have to make sure that they're practicing what you taught them. Because if they come in and they teach the basics, and they come in and, well, I want to learn more, Sifu. Okay, show me what you've already learned. If they're not already doing what they've learned correctly, there's no point in throwing more on their plate. Like for some martial arts, when you go, if you want to get into weapons like spear, staffs, grima sticks, nunchucks, some of them won't start teaching you that to your higher belt.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them believe that teaching it to you right from the get-go gives you better eye-hand coordination and works left brain, right brain better. And I actually agree with that. But again, it depends on what martial arts you get into and what they want to do when they want to do it.
Right.
Statistically speaking, and this book is largely based on teaching people to be more proactive than reactive, and it's basically that comes down to a mindset, is, you know, there's a chapter in here, for example, college campuses, a couple other chapters, how to prevent rape, what to do immediately after a rape. Those three chapters have a lot in common. Same thing with home burglaries. Most home invasions happen during the day. And the thing is, people might say, well, yeah, but I can't afford an alarm system. I guarantee you, once your house is burglarized, the next day you'll have an alarm system put in. Right. And all of a sudden it's affordable. Because it doesn't matter what the statistics are. Once you've become a victim, you don't care what the statistics are. You are the statistic.
Right, and there's
no, you can't make that go away.
You can replace the items that are taken, but you can never replace that sense of security in your own home once you've been violated like that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have life, you have rape, you have abduction, you have human trafficking. And first, and the other thing is when people break in, the main things they look for, of course, money, jewelry, prescription medicines, electronics. What makes it really hard to pawn an electronic is if they don't have the power cord. But how many people are going to leave their house for the day, take the power cords out of the laptop, the TV,
right,
and hide it somewhere, put it in a safe, like no nobody. But mm-hmm. just as point of reference, if they don't have the power cord, the pawn shop ain't going to want to buy it because it's a pain in the butt to try to get a power cord or something.
Really? See, that's great you said that, Jay, because I had no idea that was true.
Well, one of the chapters, again, is are you a creature of habit? First place they usually check when they come in, master bedroom. What do most people hide in master bedrooms, if it's even hidden? Gun in the closet, under the mattress,
yep.
Jewelry, prescription medicines in the kitchen, in the cabinet. Electronics are all over a house now. Back in the day, if you had money, you had a black and white TV, and that was it. Now you go into a house and some of these places have TVs in every room.
Yeah.
Laptop in the office. They got a TV in the kitchen. So, I mean, you're making it too easy for them because you're putting things where they know most people put things.
Jay, you just brought something up that was fantastic. Catherine and I bought a new house about 3 years ago. A TV in every room.
Oh,
we had to move like seven televisions.
Bathrooms. Everything.
TVs.
I mean, it was just insane how many TVs were in that house.
To miss the kickoff when you're in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
You know? Seven televisions in that house.
So many televisions.
But now you're down to one black and white TV without a plug. Am I right, guys?
I have a 10-year-old Mac desktop that they can take anytime.
Enjoy.
It has zero value.
What you're saying is if I come into your house with any EMF meter, it's just going to go off in every room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Well, give us some tips for people that are out and about how to not be a target. And I know, obviously, don't be on your phone the whole damn time. Be aware of your surroundings. But, I mean, what else is what should be common sense but is seriously lacking? What are good ways to keep yourself from being a target?
Have a dog.
Well, here's something I'm going to do. So, you know, one of my websites is ghostfanatics.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, after we get off the phone, I'm going to go on there and I'm going to put a list of all 50 chapters in this book. So if somebody's even thinking of buying the book, of course it's on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble, but...
Very good.
They could go on Ghost Fanatics if they want, just scroll down, they can read all 50 chapters.
Wow.
Well, not the chapter itself, but the title.
No, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Way to tease us.
Because it's like, well, what's this book about? I like writing books about real things.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense is a really common, how to avoid being singled out as a target, how to give yourself the advantage, being prepared to go out before you leave the home. That's really where it all starts. You want to be prepared in the home, but when you leave, are you prepared when you go out? Avoiding identity theft, ATMs, travel tips, local and abroad, what to do if you're stranded, what to do if your vehicle breaks down in traffic, parking lot preparedness, long-term parking. Parking lots are playground for criminals. There's so many things that happen in parking lots, from human trafficking, rape, sex acts, burglary, robbery, abduction, you name it. Almost everything's on the table when it comes to parking lots.
I hate parking
and that rolls over into gas stations and convenience stores.
Well, I just saw an article, Jay. Let me ask you real quick. I just saw an article that, again, had never even crossed my mind about this, but the headline was, never get in the tow truck with the driver. If they come out to tow your car, you should never ride with the tow truck driver. You should arrange a secondary ride or have somebody else there. Is that really an issue? Tow truck drivers are trafficking people now?
Well, you know, if you just watch the movie Breakdown, you might be a little concerned with, you know, Kurt Russell. That's a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
You do watch the movie.
It's a location joke. You had to have been there, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. If you've called AAA, for example, and they sent a tow truck out, and you know it's the tow truck that they sent, I'd feel a lot more confident in that than just a tow truck happened to be showing up and says, hey, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like you paid somebody to come out and reseal your blacktop driveway. You have that relationship. But then you get these door knockers that say, hey, I got a little stuff left over from a job I did one subdivision over. We'll give you a discounted price today. And now all of a sudden, all they're doing is putting used motor oil on your blacktop driveway, and you think they're seal coating it.
Oh,
wow.
It's got to be your level of comfort.
Yeah.
Same thing. A lot of people dress in service uniforms, UPS and FedEx. You'll have these porch pirates that'll follow FedEx and UPS trucks around all day. Because what do? Deliver packages. And then you just follow behind them. And when they go around the corner, you just go up and you grab the package off the porch.
Hmm.
And this is a very common occurrence.
Great.
And some of them knock on the door to see if you're home. Well, if I'm sitting down the block, set of binoculars, and I see you put a package down and knocked on the door, I might give it 5 minutes. But if nobody answers that door, I might go on the assumption, okay, nobody's home.
All right.
So, and if you're single out as a target, I mean, that really what puts the odds against you, because there's a bunch of statistics in the book in when you're most likely to be kidnapped. Believe it or not, you're most likely to be kidnapped within a couple miles of home. And the reason why is you leave home and you get closer to home, it funnels you in a more narrow pathway of your usual travels.
Oh, more predictable.
So, yeah. And wow. That falls into kind of, are you a creature of habit? Take different routes once in a while. Don't be so set on everything. Because if somebody does have it out for you, the more routine you are, the easier to take advantage of it. Because they already know where you're going to be, when you're going to be, where you go. You like to go to the cafe on Tuesdays. You go to the health club on Thursdays. You like to go between 12 and noon or 12 and 2. You're making it too easy for somebody to single you out. You want to be as unpredictable as possible.
Well, I've told, and I have a friend of mine who every time they go to answer the door for whatever door knocker's there and their big Brutus dog comes charging up, they, don't worry about him. He's a teddy bear. If you got in here, he'd just lick you all over. I'm like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
You don't know who this guy is. Maybe he's coming up to check and see what the lay of the land is. Yeah. Let him think your dog's a killer. Mm-hmm. He's, oh, well, I don't want people being afraid of my dog. I'm like, well, I do. I didn't get a pit bull because they're cuddly looking. He looks like he might eat you. I want a dog that is a sweetheart of a dog, but will protect my property.
Right.
So I try not to, you don't want to give that away to people either. That, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. My dog's, you get in this house, he's just going to lick you.
I say, unless I say the word.
Yeah.
Don't worry about him unless I say the word.
there's a safe word for other situations too, but that's not for this call.
That's right.
It's a different deal.
Took a turn.
What's interesting, Jay, is that
you
bringing that up, Jay, just popped into my head, and I didn't even know I was doing it. But I grew up in a very dangerous neighborhood as a little kid, and it apparently has stuck with me my whole life, because when I leave home, I can get to this building by three different routes. And I take a different route every day. And I actually have no reason to do it. I just do it. But now you've told me exactly why I do it, because it's stuck in my head. Don't be too predictable. You're absolutely right.
So you're going to have to add a fourth and fifth route now, Tom.
Yeah, no, add a fourth. I'm not telling you what route I'm taking. I'm just saying.
That's why when people are really worried about, like, the government tracking your movements.
Right.
It's like, well, first, they know where you work and where you live. So they know where you are 95% of the time. Yeah. If they want to come get you, they're just going to go to your house.
Yeah.
Or to your job if it's work hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the guys who used to tear the dollar bills and pull the little strips that were inside of them so that they couldn't be tracked.
Right.
Mm. Well, believe it or not, they say there's chips in tires.
Really?
What do you think, tire carver?
Yep.
Do you carve out chips ever?
Oh, think about that. The tire carver. That's what his real name is, Andy.
Not the chips that you can eat if you pull over and you're stranded. But check this out. In the book, Chapter 19, Whether or Not to Answer the Door.
Uh-huh.
Because people feel compelled. As soon as that doorbell goes off or somebody knocks, they got to open it.
I never answer the door.
Yeah, not me.
I'm like, get away from it.
Drop to the floor.
I still have a sign.
Army crawl up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I still have a sign out of my house that says sleeping baby.
About the only time I'll do that is if I see some little teenage girls out there in Girl Scout uniforms that have boxes and boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Because I'm in.
They could be imposters.
But check this out, because I like to cite a lot of statistics. A lot of statistics I get off the website, I try to get the most current data. It can come from places like the FBI, the CIA, US.gov. 30% of all home invasion burglaries are forced entry. 60% of the victims were unarmed at the time of occurrence. 50% of the home invasion burglaries are by assailants portraying some type of service or delivery person. 60% of rapes occur during a home invasion. 10% of home invasions are to a single parent with kids. Home invasion means someone is in the home, but not necessarily mean anything is stolen. 33% of all home invasions occur when someone is at home. 65% of violent burglaries, the victims knew the offenders. 85% of the burglaries case the home first.
Mm.
Most home invasions occur as a form of domestic violence. And... well, this other thing I don't want to give away, because then you're giving information to criminals.
Well, I guess I like that curtain twitcher at the end of our block, then. She's got her eye on everything. Your dog's peeing on the geraniums. Knock, knock.
In the chapter, Different Ways to Fortify Your Home, you have to understand that there's different levels of fortification. You have real fortification where maybe you have glass in your windows or your door that are laminated like the front windshield, and they're just a lot harder to get through. They're going to have to keep pounding and pounding and pounding. It's not security you can see, but it's real security that you have. Then you could have surveillance cameras. Well, maybe they're real, and maybe they're dummy. You can see a lot of dummy cameras on Amazon where it just has a blinking light, but it's not really recording anything. So you're playing the psychological game. Maybe you don't have a dog, but you go to the dollar store, you buy a dog chain, you buy a dog dish, you put them in the backyard, and if I'm looking over the fence in your backyard and I see a dog chain and a dog dish, if I'm not staking out your house to make sure, I'm going to assume you got a dog.
See, that's why I leave a chain in the front yard and poop in my own yard once in a while, so people think I have a dog.
There's a shock. Shock is in.
Wow, that's a big dog.
Andy, actually,
you know,
that dog's got problems.
You are seeming more and more like Homer Simpson to me.
There's no question about it, Jay. No doubt about it.
Well, he watched a lot.
You're pretty much cinching that deal.
Andy, why don't you tell Jay about your experience with a home invasion? That was pretty over at
Alex's house. Minneapolis, of course.
Yeah,
I was at my friend's house.
Everybody was home, right?
It was me, him, and his mom. I don't want to say their names because I don't know if I want to have this public or not. But yeah, we were upstairs playing video games, probably. And there was like a boom downstairs.
You should tell them, by the way, that it was on the campus of the University of Minnesota.
No, it's close to the campus.
Close-ish.
Well, close-ish. Nearby, okay. Yeah.
There was a kaboom downstairs, and my friend was like, oh, what the hell was that? And I was like, yeah, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. we go downstairs, and it turns out that someone had kicked in the front door.
God.
But as soon as he saw my friend's mom, who is not an imposing woman, by the way, at all, as soon as he saw the mom, he ran away. So the fact that she was there.
Well, she said she swore at him.
Well, oh, okay.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so
no.
Just her being there, you know, if she wasn't.
My host.
If he hadn't seen her downstairs, you know, he might have started, you know, rummaging through the place.
Oh, absolutely.
But we would have been upstairs knowing.
Well, they always had dogs, at least one.
Big dogs.
Sometimes two.
I don't know. I don't remember maybe
it
the
was
dogs.
Maybe it was between dogs.
Or maybe the dad was walking them
or something.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. It could. That's right. There was like the short period where they didn't have a dog. That's. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the guy just walked up, kicked down the door. I think it was probably like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. So he wasn't day, but it wasn't like 2 a.m. Like most people assume these kind of things happen. So what we did was we got some scrap wood and we nailed it to the door frame so the door couldn't be opened, and then called the cops.
There you go.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
How old was the guy?
I didn't ever see him.
Oh, okay.
So I have a question for you, Jay.
But you got lucky.
Yeah.
He could have, he could have, like I said, if she wasn't in there, then who knows? He could have started going upstairs trying to steal stuff, got startled by us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was armed or not, and who knows?
Yeah.
So my question for Jay would be, would you get the impression, because he was not afraid of making so much noise kicking in a door.
He thought the house was empty.
Mm-hmm. But he probably was armed as well.
I don't know.
No.
Why would you make all that noise when you don't have to?
Well, he thought the house was empty.
He thought the house was empty.
Yeah, but people on the street see you kicking and hear you kicking the door in.
In Minneapolis, they're like, it must be Tuesday.
That's nice.
So here's the thing. A lot of assumptions are made.
Right.
For a lot of reasons and a lot of occurrences. For instance, when you go, and that's not for every department, but when you going for interviews for police, you're trying to get a job, they ask you a lot of questions just to see how you respond. And one is, and if I asked you, I said, do you drink? Well, I really don't drink alcohol, but I drink. I drink water. I drink protein supplements. But if I ask you if you drink and you say no, well, then you assumed. If you pull up on a scene and there's somebody who appears to be drunk, maybe they need medications and they haven't taken their medications. But you roll up on the scene already assuming they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of have an open mind as to, I don't know what the situation is yet. All I know is this is what I'm dealing with right now. This guy could have been armed, knife or gun, or not. Could have had people waiting outside. Could have had somebody trying to come in the back door at the same time.
Yep.
Could have been a group of people parked in a van down the street. Could have been drunk. Most crimes committed is drug related in some way.
There you go.
They need money for drugs.
Not the right mind.
Yep.
Or to get money to buy drugs, or to get something they can pawn to buy money to buy drugs. Most crimes committed you're assuming the person making all the noise, trying to break in, is in their right mind. Maybe they're not in their right mind. Maybe they're off their prescriptions. You don't know. All you know is your life, you're in fear for your life because you don't know what's going on and you don't know this person. And you have to react accordingly. I mean, I have my concealed carry permit and I have a gun with me in the house, but if somebody's trying to break in the front door, I'm not going to start lobbing bullets through the front of the door.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have the police on the phone. I'm going to keep them on the phone. I'll have my gun with me. But, you know, if somebody comes barraging through the door and they're wielding knives or guns, or there's three people to come piling through, well, I got a decision to make. I'm about to get my ass kicked by three people, or somebody's going to start shooting at me, or I need to start shooting. There's so many things that happen in an instant, and that's what makes the job so hard for police officers, is once you see it on the news, you see part of it, you don't see all of it, you don't see how it started, and they have to make these decisions in just a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
They don't have a couple of minutes to think it through.
Yeah, one of our friends recently said to me in real life, this is only something I'd ever heard on Twitter before, but they said, why didn't they shoot the gun out of the guy's hand? And I almost laughed in her face.
Because it's not Hollywood.
No, that is not how it works at all.
Oh, so you admit that law enforcement is just lazy. Not good at shooting guns out of hands. Yeah, no, what a ridiculous thing.
Fairly trained.
If a guy's got my understanding is, if a guy's got a weapon and he's getting ready to use it, you just stop him.
Right.
Well, yeah, if someone has a gun,
they're not shooting through the hand.
Can't take the risk.
People also have this idea that it takes like a long time to stab or shoot someone. Like, you know, you see the gun, it means you got several seconds before they level it at you and give the one-liner before they pull the trigger. You know how it works in real life. They always have to say, "Go ahead, make my day," before they shoot.
Right.
It's illegal if they don't.
Yeah.
But no, if someone's holding a gun, you could be dead within a quarter of a second. You have no idea.
Well, even a knife. If I stick a knife in your jugular vein, you're not going to...
Nope, you're
dead. You're done.
Yeah.
I know. I hate parking ramps so much.
And actually, at close quarters, a knife's even more deadly. Stairwell, elevator.
Remember,
I'd rather have a knife in an elevator than a gun.
Mm.
For close quarters.
Oh, no. Yeah, you can't fight someone with a knife. You're going to get cut no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, and that's why knowing where to get cut is important. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can avoid getting cut or stabbed, because you really don't want to get stabbed. They'd rather get cut than stabbed.
Right.
But it depends on where you get cut on the body. And that's why if you train a knife fighting technique, somebody might say, well, I don't want to know how to kill somebody with a knife. Okay, well, if you don't know how to kill somebody with a knife, then you also don't know how to defend against one. So you're actually saying, I don't want to learn how to defend against it. You have to know how to attack with one for you to know how to defend against it. And it's not the same. You know, most of your veins and arteries, for instance, on your forearm, just look at when you give blood, or if they take a blood or put an IV in. They always put it on that one side of your arm.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it on the back side. But it takes a lot of training when somebody starts swinging a knife around to put your arm in front of you with your palm facing you.
Yeah, don't want to do that.
Instead of having your palm facing out. It's a natural reaction to put your hand facing out, and that exposes all the arteries in the arm.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bring out my shield.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, your bracers.
Hey, Captain America.
Oh, we had a woman on the show a long time ago. Remember the Fight Like a Girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has this. Yeah, she has a self-defense school, I believe.
Yeah, because she got attacked.
Because she was attacked in a parking ramp by a guy in a suit, looked like a normal human being. Yeah, remember? And he stabbed her and left her for dead.
Mm-hmm.
Stabbed her multiple times and left her for dead. So ever since then, I'm like, do I have to go into a parking ramp?
Yeah, you know what they call a guy in a suit on a parking ramp?
No.
Camouflage. All he's doing is blending in.
Oh.
You blend into your environment, people don't see you as a threat. They don't pay any particular attention.
That's true.
But take the same person with the same intention looking extremely homeless.
Mm-hmm.
As you approach that person in a parking ramp, you're going to be more aware, like, this doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But because they put the guy in a suit and tie, what do you have to worry about? He's a businessman.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. A very good point. Wow.
That's true.
So if I want to commit crimes, I want to blend into my environment. I don't want to stick out. I don't want to stand out.
That's where I've been going wrong.
So trust no one, Catherine.
That's what I understand.
Well, the other thing has to do, another chapter in how to travel open and abroad, is when you go to other countries, I mean, well, okay, so if I go to Scotland, that doesn't mean I'm going to wear a kilt, okay?
Right.
But you could. And if I was, I'd probably blend in. But the point of the matter is when you go to a lot of these other countries that just have completely different wardrobe than us, if you're wearing the wardrobe from the country that you came from, they know, hey, tourist, here's the tourist. And they know how to take advantage of tourists.
Right.
But if you want to blend in, as soon as you get there, if you get a change of clothes that's more of what everybody else is wearing, it's harder to single you out as a target because nobody really knows you're a tourist until you open your mouth.
God, what an amazing day. We need to take a very quick break. You have about another 10 minutes, Jay?
I got all the time you need.
All right, we'll be right back in just a few minutes more with Jay Johnson right after this.
Tom here for Shift Real Estate. I met the folks from Shift Real Estate last year on our way to Key West and loved their story. Shift Real Estate saves home sellers thousands of dollars on real estate fees because they list for a flat fee of $5,000, and that includes photos, MLS listing, online marketing, and the assistance of a full-time realtor. Tell Shift about your home, and they will tell you how you can save $10,000 or more. Shift Real Estate, the common sense way to sell your home. Visit shift2sell.com because life is expensive enough.
And we are back with Stretch's picks. Who's winning this thing? The Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre, Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable. Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SaberHeating.com.
Tom here, and I'm excited to tell you about a well-being and weight loss program I personally know works. It's called Continuum Weight and Well-Being. So why Continuum? Because if you're like most of their clients, you've tried countless programs and the DIY version of weight loss. If you're back at square one and just not happy with your weight, health, and how you're feeling, great news. Continuum is doing it differently. There are no meal replacements or foods you're required to purchase. They don't just focus on weight loss. They're upfront with their pricing. And most importantly, Continuum is designed for long-term success. Schedule a free consultation and find out more today. Simply go to their website, ContinuumWeightWellbeing.com, or call them or text them at 952-491-6527. The Continuum team, Nancy, Danette, and Kelly, are looking forward to getting you healthier today.
We're rocking out, man. That's all I'm saying.
You really sold it with the way you delivered the line, too. We're rocking out, man.
We're rocking out, man. That's exactly right.
I am currently rocking.
Hey, can I mention real quick, for people that are interested, I'm going back to Joliet State Prison the first weekend in August with Shane Pittman from the Holzer Files, myself, Chris Fleming, the psychic medium. We're going to be doing another event there. Information, tickets are on sale at darknessevents.com. darknessevents.com if you want to join us and go ghost hunt. And maybe on one of the upcoming episodes, I'll tell you some of the weird stuff and play a couple of the pieces of evidence I got, Tom.
That was very cool.
Wasn't that a cool piece?
Yeah. Pretty amazing. No doubt about it.
That's how Jay and I met, so I thought I'd mention that. You know?
Well, my favorite of all time, you're never going to beat this one, I'm sorry, but when Linda Blair said, "Lick me," you're never going to beat that
I've
one.
I've got some weird EVP that might get
Do you really?
Close. Yeah.
That bad, huh?
I'll play it after the show real quickly for you. I got a proposition.
Very quickly, Jay, I grew up in North Minneapolis. It's an interesting area. We went to see The Exorcist back in, when it first came out, 1970? When was that?
77, long ago. Wasn't
it? Was it 77?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. But we were sitting in the front row of the balcony. My friend, the dog, he was a tough little bastard.
73.
There you go. Well, The Godfather and The Exorcist came out within 12 months. That's the hell of a 12-month period there. But in any case, we're sitting in the front row of the balcony at the old Gopher Theater. The movie starts, and the little girl, possessed by the devil, says, what your mother's going to do in hell. I don't want to repeat it. He started laughing so hard, he almost fell out of the balcony.
Really?
I will never forget that. He's like, did she just say what I thought she said? I said, yeah, dog, settle down. You're going to plummet to your death here. Calm down.
Wow.
But yeah, I'd love to hear that audio. That's pretty amazing. Jay, did you enjoy the trip?
Oh, absolutely. It was my third time there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm actually reviewing footage as we speak. I took a lot of footage in that mirror that people say they see things in the mirror.
Yeah.
So I took a lot of pictures and video, and I'm just sitting here staring at the mirror, seeing if anything pops up.
Now, is there one, and this is for Dave and Jay, is there one or two, maybe a handful of characters that were in Joliet Prison that we know about?
Richard Speck.
Oh, that's right. Richard Speck was at Joliet. I forgot about
that. For 28 Hours, John Gacy.
John Gacy, too.
God, there's a list, and my mind's blanking out. Al Capone. Do you remember any of the others offhand, Jay? Here's a weird one. Richard Speck, who murdered eight nursing students.
Nursing students, right.
They give him a position at the hospital there in intake.
What?
Yes, he worked at the intake desk at Joliet State in the prison. I guess go
he was
where
qualified.
You're comfortable.
Yeah, I guess.
Crazy, huh?
You murder eight people and you get the head job. That's great.
That's well, cool. Just at the intake desk. I don't know if that's the head job.
Wow,
but,
it's better sitting around yourself.
I would think you keep them away from the nurses, maybe.
Yeah, not a bad plan.
In the cafe might have been the right place for him.
God, amazing. It's an amazing situation. How big is the prison?
It's huge.
It is. That's what I heard. I've never been there, but I heard it's a massive prison.
And it's a really cool place.
Why is it empty?
They just to keep it up. It was so expensive, and there were other prisons in the area, so they transferred the prisoners out. And you know, a building that size and that old, it was built in what was it, the 1800s?
Oh,
right, Jay. A lot of it.
Yeah.
Probably is full of asbestos and mold.
Actually, not too bad with all that stuff, but it's just the fact that, like, you know, the wood rots, the ceilings collapse, things like that. So they would have so much money to upkeep that they probably could just build a brand new prison for the same amount of money.
Oh, yeah. So where did they put the new prison?
I think they just, what's funny is in the 1920s or 30s, they built another prison nearby that was meant to transfer. And they never ended up doing it until 2004.
Really?
Was it Uniondale or something? What was it called, Jay? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah.
I know I'm a big help.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you being
there.
It was great having you. No, it's a cool place, and it's very active. It was one of those, you go there and you hear how active it is. We were in the West End cell block on the second night. My son Charlie and I were there waiting for our group to come join us. And as we're standing outside the cells, very clearly we start hearing just somebody whistling, and I go in and I'm like, hello? Nobody there. Nobody. So we look around. I'm like, that can't. But we both heard it. Then we had our group in and we're talking, and all of a sudden you start hearing on the upstairs, you start hearing somebody walking, and the guy goes running. He goes, somebody got in upstairs. He goes running to check on it, and there's nobody there. And you could hear what we believe were the guards walking above us as they would do their normal rounds at night.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, yeah, we got a lot of crazy activity.
God, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
That is does part of that, I mean, because I have no history with this whatsoever, is part of that the way the guards had to apparently, there's an alarm going off.
The alarm
in this
is
building.
Going off.
It's situational awareness.
Yeah. Nice talking to you, Jay. We're going to have to abandon our building right now.
What the hell?
It's probably a fire alarm.
It is a fire alarm.
Well, Jay, it's been a pleasure.
I'm going to go.
Jesus.
The book is Situational Awareness 101.
Jay, your ghosts are back. They're showing up in our building. What the hell?
It's okay.
Thanks, Jay. We've got to have you back on. Thank you, man. Bye.
Are you kidding me?
Holy shit.
All right, I guess show's over.
This is bullshit, man.